The day begins. Same as the day before it, and the day before that, and the day before that, the kettle boiling, the radio on the kitchen counter blaring, toast popping, elbows jostling. Could you move, please? I'm in a rush. Someone calls from upstairs, Mom, I don't have any underwear. Someone calls from the bathroom, Mom, can you help me make my lunch? Teeth need brushing and mitts need finding. There's egg yolk congealing on the counter, and I'll find wet towels left in a cold, damp mess in the bathroom, and beds won't get made, and yesterday's clothes pile on bedroom floors, and tomorrow, and tomorrow, and tomorrow creeps in this petty pace from day to day. I set out on my commute. The wind roars and the rain pelts and the world looks bleak with indifference. People walk hunched, heads down, ears plugged with headphones, oblivious to each other. Me included, listening to the incomprehensible stories from the news on my phone. People sit palms up on the sidewalk and approach cars stopped at red lights, palms out. And in the park across the street from the church, the park surrounded by mansions on all sides, a homeless man sets up his tent, a walking shadow, a poor player that struts and frets his hour upon the stage and then is heard no more. I stop by an assisted living residence, watch an older gentleman shuffle onto the same elevator as me, every step labored. Two aides, one on either side of him, his breathing heavy. The woman I'm here to visit is laying down when I arrive. Tired out from the day, she says. But my phone says it's 10 o'clock in the morning. And the walls of the residence boast all kinds of liveliness and activity, a holiday dinner coming up, fitness classes, art experiences. I don't really leave this room, she says. And all around are pictures from her past, images of who she's been. What a tale told. The whole of her life, full of sound and fury and signifying what? Nothing? In the years following Jesus' death, hopes ran high that Jesus would return, that he would return as the risen Christ within his followers' lifetimes, and that when Jesus returned, life's purpose and meaning would be revealed. Clear as day, Christ would come back to establish a new order, one governed by love and justice, God's realm, here on earth. While they waited for the signs, for the sun to suddenly darken and the moon to lose its light and the stars to fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies to be shaken. But if the risen Christ, the Son of Man, had come back to be with them, they couldn't perceive it. Divisions between those who believed Jesus was the Messiah and those who didn't heightened. They found they could no longer worship together. Questions nagged and pestered. Where is all of this headed? And what does our future hold? We'd hoped for a sign that our universe is governed by some higher order, some sense of purpose. Is there possibility, power in our lives, or are we caught, all of us, in an endless cycle, tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow, the same, until our candle finally burns out? A few weeks ago, I sent out an email, a bunch of questions. What are you struggling with these days? I asked. What's challenging you right now? And the answer came back. Finding meaning. Where's the meaning in the midst of the daily grind when you clean up a mess and it's there again the next day? When some live in mansions while others set up tents in parks. When you reach old age only to lay tired at 10 o'clock in the morning. Can there really be any meaning here? Any sense that the universe is governed by a higher order, a deeper love, an intrinsic justice? I read this past week the writer Tom Juno's profile of Fred Rogers, originally published in Esquire magazine in 1998, and now the inspiration behind the movie A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. Mr. Rogers, as I think many of you know, was the creative source behind the children's TV show Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. It ran for 31 seasons between 1968 and 2001. And Mr. Rogers had a gift for helping people to know their goodness and meaning, uncovering within them a deeper love, an intrinsic sense of justice. And the tone of the article, you can look it up online, the tone of the article is one of bafflement, baffling. To the journalist was Mr. Rogers' commitment to each moment, to making each moment meaningful. The author describes in the article all kinds of meaningful moments with Fred Rogers, one of which took place at Penn Station in New York City, where Mr. Rogers was filming a segment for his show. Crowds of fans gathered when they saw him there. A mother pushed a little boy up to talk to him. She knew who Mr. Rogers was, though the little boy didn't, and he wouldn't show it if he cared. The author describes the moment. The boy was carrying a plastic sword that lit up. "Oh my, that's a big sword you have," Mr. Rogers said to him. "It's a death ray," said the little boy. Mr. Rogers then leaned forward and whispered something, and the boy's face visibly changed, softened. Later, Tom asked Mr. Rogers what he had said. "Oh, I just knew that whenever you see a little boy carrying something like that, it means he wants to show people that he's strong on the outside. I just wanted to let him know that he was strong on the inside, too. And so that's what I told him," Mr. Rogers said. I suppose there's always something going on for each of us in any given moment within us and without to make us question, hasn't the world gotten much colder now? Isn't the sky more gray than blue? Is there any meaning in our moments? Of course, it's a part of being human to struggle with finding meaning. And so Advent begins with a promise from the divine. Keep awake. The presence of the living Christ will come again to be with us at unexpected times and in unexpected places. Don't give up hope. Our world is indeed governed by a deeper love and intrinsic justice, and the risen Christ will come to meet us. But about that day and hour, no one knows. So keep awake. Every moment holds the potential for meaning. Now, it's true that there are some who profess this world benign, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. But Advent begins with a confession of faith and an imperative, keep awake. Paul said it this way in the Gospel of Romans, God works together with those who love God to bring about what is good. Of course, there are powerful forces that we are always up against, the chaotic and the incomprehensible, injustice and suffering. But Advent begins with the promise of a presence who comes to meet us when we least expect it, just to be with us in the moment. There is a deep power within us. Keep awake. I've been considering this week, all this week, the power and the possibility that exist in the small moments we share with each other. As Mr. Rogers did with the child and the journalist who profiled him, Fred Rogers was a person of deep faith. He was an ordained Presbyterian minister. When we realize what we can bring to each moment in our lives, a moment of love, a moment of peace, a moment of kindness, a moment of generosity, well, all of a sudden, every moment becomes an opportunity to make our lives mean something by helping others to understand how much they mean to us. Be ready. What do we call it as people of faith? How do we describe it, the nature of that power within us? The presence of the living Christ, who God promises will come to meet us when we need him. Each day begins, same as the day before it, and the day before that, and the day before that, the kettle boiling, the radio on the kitchen counter blaring, toast popping, elbows jostling. How have you been managing all this? People keep saying to me, you know, the kids and the work and the challenges of the church right now, and all while your husband is working far away. And I don't know how to answer that, except to say that I believe that the Son of Man, the presence of the living Christ, comes to meet us, to be with us and to support us at unexpected times and in unexpected places, fixing lunches, hanging up wet towels, just when we think we haven't got another ounce in us. Suddenly we're filled like a flash, like a flood, and there it is, the strength to carry on. But honestly, you know, I've been meaning to ask the same thing of you. How have you been managing it all? How have you kept on and on, brightening a world bleak with indifference? You see the hungry, and you arrange bags of goodies for Christmas, and you see the thirsty, and you say, come on, come to coffee hour. And how many strangers is it that you've welcomed now over all these years, newcomers to Canada? And there are people who are cold right now, improperly dressed for winter, and you've been stocking our clothing bank to keep them warm. And I know all of you. I know you have your personal challenges. I know those haven't gone away. So how are you finding the energy? How are you possibly sustaining all of this? What would you call that power within you? The Son of Man meets us at unexpected times and in unexpected places. You know, we could be sitting in an assisted living center next to a woman laying tired on her bed when all of a sudden we're overcome by a gesture of kindness. Here she is. She's tired. But it's she who reaches out her hand to take yours, a gesture that suddenly makes the moment meaningful. For here is empathy. Here is love. Advent begins with this promise, keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on which day your Lord will meet you. He comes to meet us. He comes again and again, tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow, and we find new meaning in all our yesterdays. Amen.